what time it is. Time to get that party started all up in your ear holes. Here we go. When you had a bad day and you want those bad vibes to go away.
When every day life gets harder.
The Pocket Party Podcast.
In your ear holes.
Pocket Party Podcast.
It's in your ear holes.
Pocket Party Podcast. Oh, if your day needed a booster, then you need to talk to Red Rooster. Mr. Carter about to take you to school. Here we go. Don't hurt nobody. Don't hurt yourself.
Sometimes life sucks. Sometimes everything is going wrong. Sometimes you are just at your lowest, either financially, emotionally, romantically. Things always get better. Things will always be fine. But you can't just sit and wait. I've learned this myself. You have to go out and be proactive. When things are down, allow it to happen. It's part of the human experience. Depression, sadness, it's all part of being alive. Don't wallow in it. Let it pass through you. And then after a little bit, go, okay, I can't stay here. Let me go do something proactively to work my way out of it. And you start doing that, and then you'll find that sometimes life just gives you a little push out of nowhere. You know, you might just get a check out of nowhere. You might get a girl calls you haven't heard from in a while, going, hey, I've been thinking about it. That happens.
And we're back. Hey, thank you again for checking out the Pocket Party Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Carter. Hope you're having a great day. It's Monday. It's when this episode will be going up on Monday. It's from an interview I had with a good old friend, man, Kareem Matthews. Kareem has been on television, movies. He's a great laid-back comic. He's the kind of guy, we're polar opposites on stage. Like, my style is energy and sounds, lights, you know, wackiness, impressions, and he can just chill and just say funny things and they just come out hilarious. I remember one time we did a military gig down in San Diego, and the way the spotlight was, it was in like the Navy base. I almost said the campus. It was on the Navy base bar, and I remember like the spotlight was had somehow dropped down and was only lighting us up from basically the chest down. And so your face is completely in the dark. And I realized, like, wow, especially back then, like 20 years ago, I was like, I really rely on facial expressions, like, you know, with my face to convey my messages of what I'm trying to, you know, with my stand-up comedy. And Kareem, because he did very little facial expressions, he crushed. It was like, I had a hard time up there. And he was able just to chill and say funny things. Like one of his bits at the time was, I was watching Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah Winfrey talked about how she walked into her walk-in closet. And she said she was walking around, and she happened to see a pair of pants that she hadn't worn in a long time. And she said, I wonder if I could still fit into those pants. And do you know, when I put my hand in the pocket, I found $100 bill. And I was like, Oprah, I could walk up to my closet and look around, but I damn sure ain't gonna find no $100 bill. And if I did, and you whatever, it just goes on and on. But check out Kareem. That was my impression of Kareem Matthews.
We're done with this interview.
Oh, oops, this one. Kareem Matthews. Is it even playing? I'm pressing a button, but the audience is supposed to be applauding. But anywho, I know you'll enjoy this episode. I want to do a special shout out to. Just, I had a contest on my IG, on my Instagram stories. So I interviewed my son, Austin Carter, a.k.a. Aust, the Bass Boss. And for the thumbnail, I took the thumbnail and I added a little song on Instagram stories, that song, Do You Remember the 21st Night of September? And I said, if anybody knows why I chose that song, you're going to get a shout out. And the answer is because Austin talked about on the 21st night of September, he got to meet Neil Sedaka. And we also talked about Rick Springfield and how he got to be on stage with Rick Springfield. And that was awesome. So check out that episode. I believe it's episode either 163 or 164. But big shout out right now to a few people. SF Giants Guy 408. SF Giants Guy 408. Thank you, buddy. You're always checking out either the YouTube version of the podcast or the audio version, and you message me, and I really appreciate that. Christopher McCray, shout out to Christopher McCray. Shout out to another winner, winner, chicken dinner. We got Duron. Duron got the answer, and so did Cindy Larson Music. Cindy Larson Music. Check her out on Instagram. And I want to give a special shout out to a person who donated this week. Very large sum, and I really appreciate it. All the way from Canada. I'm going to probably mess up the pronunciation, but it's Tobias Kevorkazito. He comments on YouTube a lot, and I really appreciate you. Anytime you guys comment on YouTube or give it a thumbs up, it helps the algorithm, and it helps the channel get more popular and more exposure to people. So I really do that. Really, all these platforms, they like that interaction. They like, you know, which is something I didn't even used to think of. Like, I'd watch a video, I'd enjoy it, and then I would just move on. But I realize if you leave a little comment, just, you know, something, you could leave a paragraph, you could leave just, this was great. Anything, you know, have a great day, or thanks for posting, or anything you want to write. It helps those algorithms. And I do that for other YouTubers as well. When I watch something, I'll give it a thumbs up, or I'll write like a sincere comment. Like if it's a music video, I'll put something like, this takes me back to eighth grade, or this song is whatever. I'll just say something that I genuinely feel. So there you go. Let's get into the episode. It's a short one. And I have a catalog of many, many, many episodes, so you can go back. And I thank you guys for keeping me in the loop. You know, I mean, I know there's many podcasts that you listen to. You got your sports, your conspiracy, your political, and you got this podcast, which I like to add light to the world and keep it upbeat. And let's get into it now, guys. Let's start that party in your ear holes.
Pocket party.
Whatever you are striving for can no longer happen once you give up. You know what I mean? But as long as you're still in the game, there's always that possibility of something happening. Like Famous Amos, he wasn't always famous. You know what I mean? He didn't get famous till he was really old. Like that guy you see on the box, that's how old he was when he got famous, you know? So like if he had given up 5 years earlier or 10 years earlier, we would have never heard of Famous Amos, you know? So it's like, my thing is you just never give up. Keep pushing forward at whatever it is you're working on. And eventually, you know what I mean? You will get there.
Pocket party.
And we're back. Hey, everybody. It's your host, Darren Carter, the party starter, Pocket Party Podcast. One of my oldest friends in comedy, not old, but like I've known him for a really long time, since like the 90s, the Comedy Store days, when I first moved to San Diego, and he was in a documentary and booked a bunch of commercials, and we've known each other for so long, and it's great to have him on here. Please welcome Mr. Kareem Matthews.
I love it. I love it. I just got to take you with me on the road with that intro, man. Damn, you had stuff in there I have forgotten.
I know, right? Yeah.
I was like, I did do a documentary.
I know you're in like the original, as far as I know, Comedy Store documentaries. What was the name of that documentary?
The Main Room.
The Main Room. See?
Yeah, yeah. Joe Rogan was in it. Bobby Lee. Some other not so well-known people, but like Fred Burns, Frank Manzano. Wow. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Cheryl Vendetti.
Oh, yeah. Cheryl Vendetta. Yeah. Vendetti. You're right. Vendetti. I'm thinking Vendetta.
Yeah.
Vendetti. That's cool.
I just saw Vicky Barbalak.
So where did you see her? Comedy Store?
At that Ahmed gig. Ahmed has that gig in Venice Beach. And she came down from San Diego to do that gig. I guess she's still in, well, she lives in somewhere near Hemet, I think she said. But, you know, that's still in that area.
Yeah, she did pretty well on America's Got Talent, I think. Is that the name of the show?
Yeah. That's been a good springboard for a few people.
Yeah. Would you ever want to do it?
I don't know if I'm their style. You know what I mean? Like, I auditioned for Last Comic Standing, like, 2 seasons. One of them was when they had, like, Andy Kindler as one of the hosts. And he basically told me, like, you know what I mean? You're not the type of comic we're looking for.
Right. Yeah. Which is, like, and you had, like, a personal connection with Andy, right? Then you like, knew his wife and...
Yeah, yeah. Which I thought would help. I mean, it's funny because I knew we both know Alonzo.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Who was a host at one point. And I kind of know Bill Bellamy. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, that means nothing.
Yeah. I know. I know. Because you know what? I remember that when I auditioned, I did my Armenian baby bit. Because I knew for people who want to get caught up on it, go to my YouTube channel. Just type in Darren Carter Armenian baby cartoon. Like, this, people love this cartoon. And it was an animated bit my cousin who works for South Park did a great job on animating one of my bits. So I knew this is like a killer bit, you know, has a lot of views on YouTube. People love it. And, you know, basically we were talking about my wife's Armenian. And at the time I had my hair out and I was like, I go, I'm a ginger. What's our baby going to look like? And I would become this character where I'm like, come on, bro. My chest has freckles. And, you know,
I love that bit.
Right, I would take the microphone and put it here. Like, I got, like, come on, bro. And I mean,
what is this, Mercedes?
yeah. Where I tell the baby, I go, get in your Mercedes. I go, get in your baby stroller, and he's like, that's not Mercedes. And
yeah.
And here's what it looks like. Actually, I just happen to have this right here. Look, that was the cartoon. So at the end of the cartoon, he drives off in the Mercedes, the little baby with the Armenian flag, and one of the jokes is I say, we live in Burbank. Our baby lives in Glendale, you know, whatever. But, and it would kill. It was, you know, it was very lovable, clean bit. And I remember Andy Kindler was like, not my style of comedy.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, so you get it, you know.
But you auditioned that same year?
Yes. And I remember Greg, I did it, I auditioned twice. And once I actually got called back to go on that night. And Greg Giraldo, he let me down, but he did it very nice. He said,
End up passing?
Yes, he did. He did. He what he told me was, I don't think you're necessarily right for this particular television competition show, but that's not to say that you wouldn't be great for many, many things in show business and, you know, to go on to do theaters and arenas or whatever. He actually said it like that. And I was like, wow, thank you. Like, that's, he didn't have to, you know what I mean? They could have just cut you down.
Yeah. I mean, but did that really make you feel better though?
It kind of did, to be honest with you, because I kind of knew that I was going to get rejected anyways, just after Andy said that. And
right.
And then another thing, I remember one time, another one of the, I might be confusing the years, but there was another joke I said, and I remember the judge was like, I don't get it. I don't get that joke. I just don't get it. Where's the joke? And I'm thinking, that's a joke that does well with a lot of audiences. And it was, the joke I said was, it was about being married. And I said, between being single and being married, when you're single, you're like, you take my breath away. When you're married, you're like, you suck the life out of me.
Oh, right. I remember.
It's funny because it's about breath. It's like, you know, take my breath away, suck the life out of me. And
right. See, that's the thing. I feel like comedy is subjective. You know what I mean? It's a very subjective art form. It's like, I always say it's like ice cream. Like 31 flavors sells 31 different flavors. You know what I mean? Like, some people love rainbow sherbet. I don't like rainbow sherbet, but that doesn't mean they're not going to sell it. You know what I mean? So to me, like, I really try not to judge comics or comedy because, again, it may not be my flavor. And that's why I don't like it when they have comics judging other comics. You know what I mean? Because, just as well as they judged us, I could judge Andy Kindler or, you know what I mean? Or
right.
I can judge their comedy and have just as a fair or honest opinion about it. You know what I mean? So I feel like it should be a better way to determine than just to have a few comics that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's something that comes with myself, with maturity on myself. Like, I used to see a comedian on stage when I was younger, earlier in the business, and they would just kind of be standing there with no energy and kind of quiet. And I would peek my head in and be like, the guy's boring. And then I go out, and then that boring person would go on and have a great successful career. Cause I'm like, oh, it just wasn't my kind of comedy that I liked when I was 21 years old. You know, it doesn't mean that it wasn't, you know, and as you kind of mature, like you said, like there's comedians that are great, you know, for what they do. And maybe not, like you said, not everybody has to like it. And then I really can appreciate that as I've, you know, as life God goes on.
Yeah. Right. And that doesn't have to be your style of comedy as a comic. You know what I mean? Just because someone is smashing pumpkins or watermelons on stage doesn't mean you have to throw that into your act. You know what I mean? You can also respect that other comic for having their own style. Like, I just feel like it's a bunch of lanes out there. Just stay in your lane. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you need to be veering all over.
Yeah. I know. It's funny. And then especially, like, I notice, like, sometimes, like, when I do my new material now, I notice, like, when it's just something that's so, like, personal that just happened in our house or whatever, I can say it. And it's great how it gets a big laugh response. Like, wow, that's cool. That's really, you know, like the other day I did a show and this is just the beginnings of a joke. I don't even know where I'm going to go with it. I'll probably give some examples of what my son thought, but I just said, I'm already talking about my son. And at one point I go, yeah, my dad, I go, my son doesn't really laugh at my jokes like he used to. He just goes cringe. And when I said that, they could picture like this 13-year-old going cringe or whatever, you know, like
right.
He's like, Dad, you're the king of cringe.
That's funny. You know? Cringe.
Exactly. You know what I mean? That would work with any of our bits almost, you know, like the idea, like what if you had like a 13-year-old running around your house and you're like, yeah, so I, you know, what's with SeaWorld or whatever, you know, like you're some of your bits. And your kid,
right.
The up and coming generations like cringe.
I know that could be a hook. Like I always say, comics, we should be able to have a hook like rappers. You know what I mean? They can just say anything on a song, hot boy, bling, bling, bling. Yeah. And they just keep saying that over and over and it's cool.
Well, I don't know if I want cringe to be my hook.
Well, yeah, that's true.
No, because I've had other hooks that are along those lines. Like I used to do this bit about having ADD and then in my mind I'd be like boring. And
that's right.
I give all these examples. Like, imagine if this happens in your life and I come popping out from behind a bush and I'm like, boring.
Right. I do remember that. So actually, we comics can have hooks and we've been using them. I just forgot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's so cool for rappers. They can just throw that shit out there. Like,
yeah, it was funny because then people would be like, you're the boring guy. And then I remember I had there was a couple that came down from the Bay Area and they had made a t-shirt and they're like, hey, Darren, we made this shirt for you. And it says like boring and it was flattering. But part of me was like, damn, do I want that as a hook? I'm the boring guy. Like, but it's
right. I need to change that to sexy.
Exactly. No, you know what?
Hey, you're the sexy guy.
Oh, yeah. Sexy.
That's me.
Yeah, then they're actually laughing at you. Like, the guy thinks he's sexy.
Fuck it, as long as you're laughing.
You know what I did is I thought about, I might retool that boring thing because it is catchy. And then now with TikTok, like somebody messaged me. They're like, you should bring boring to TikTok and have people do a duet with you where they say something and you go boring or... And I got to figure out how to do that. I'll have Austin show me, my son, because I don't know how to do duets and stitching and all that stuff on TikTok.
He knows.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Have you done it yet? Are you into TikTok at all? Or how do you like the show so far? Pretty good, right? By the way, here I am acting with John Travolta in the movie Be Cool. Check it out. If you like the show and you want to show your support, every little bit helps. Go to DarrenCarter.com. I'm on PayPal or Venmo. At Darren Carter Comic on Venmo. Also, I'm available on Cameo and also Jemmy. All right, let's get back into the show. Oh, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
I mean, I have an account, but I stay mostly on Instagram. That's, you know, but I like Josh Nassar. Have you been seeing him?
Yeah.
He's been killing it on TikTok.
Yeah, he really has, right? I saw one of his videos and it was really funny. And then I looked down, I'm like, damn, that's Josh. I know that guy. That's Josh. You know, like,
yeah, He's been doing videos around town, just driving around f-ing with people.
You know, I saw him do that a couple of years ago on Facebook. And for some reason, no offense, Josh, if you're watching, I thought it was kind of annoying. But for some reason, when I see him do it on TikTok, maybe he's taking the better ones. It's really entertaining. And I'm really happy for him that he got something that's like, you know, working.
I know. And that's the thing about it. Like, you got to just keep pushing. You know what I mean? Like, you never know what's going to be that thing that breaks you out. That's why you can't really be afraid of new things. You just got to keep trying stuff. I mean, just like you said, you saw him trying that a few years ago on Facebook, and it probably maybe not have been the right platform, or maybe he learned more about, you know, making those videos. But now he's doing it. He's on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really good.
He's getting millions of views.
Yeah, he'll be at a stoplight, and then he'll be like, "Hey, excuse me." Like, the guy had the window down. He goes, he'll be like, "You look like the kind of guy that used to do a lot of cocaine in the 80s.
Right.
I remember the guy
that was one of his most recent ones.
Yeah, and the guy was
then
like,
he ended up doing a duet with that guy.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. He ended up making another video with him doing a duet with the guy from the car.
Oh, the guy found him? The guy was like...
Or he found the guy.
Or it was all a setup.
Right. Or they're all actors.
We should do this. Okay, you guys right? were here first. You know, guy goes to the hood and messes with the black guy, and then you're talking.
You know. And then they do a duet later.
Exactly.
And then Derek's wearing a Crenshaw shirt.
Exactly. Hey guys. No, it's all... Oh, I've seen those backfires too, right? Where they try to do like the prank thing, and then the person
whips their ass.
Yeah, maybe those are fake too. Who knows? But
I think those are.
Yeah, I think they could be fake. You know?
Right. I mean, that's the crazy part with this.
Yeah, I'll be like, Kareem, remember, don't punch me in the face. Just punch me in the gut. And you're like, we'll do prank, and then we'll do prank goes wrong.
And I'll really punch you.
Yeah, you're like,
oh, my bad, Darren. Let's do another take.
I'm like, Kareem, I thought you were in on this. Oh, man, my bad. You go viral, and I just get hate mailed and canceled.
And you go to the hospital.
Exactly. Make sure you tag me. Woo, as I pull off.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I'm not really into the prank, for me personally, to do those pranks, because I'm not, you know, like, I don't know. It has to be done right, and I'm not really into the mean thing. Like, even April Fool's, you know how you could take an April Fool's joke and take it the wrong way?
Right,
You know what I mean? You tell somebody some bad news and then they freak out. And then you go, April
Fool's. Right.
I'm not really into that. I did a hidden camera show about 15 years ago.
And punk?
Yeah, I did a hidden camera show.
Was it punk?
Oh, no, not punk. It was... It was for the TV Guide channel. I forget what it was called, but I got to be honest, man, it was really, that was actually fun. But, and everything we did was real positive. Cause then there was another show I did that they wanted us to do, like prank the public and I was like, that one I wasn't into. That was like, that's not, you know, but the one that I did for the TV Guide channel, it was great because they put like a little in-ear speaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have like these producers that are like telling you kind of what to say, so you can improvise. And then on top of it, they have lines that they're feeding you. So, dude, you look like a comedic genius because you're just coming up with all this stuff, you know,
on the spot.
Yeah, on the spot. Yeah,
right.
Did you do punk? Did you end up doing punked?
No, I didn't. Ahmed was on there though. But it's funny that thing you say about the earpiece, because. Doesn't like Whitney Cummings does something like that where she'll put a comic up in the belly room and then it'll be like her. Well, it won't be a comic, but they'll go on as a comic, but it'll be a regular person. And then like her, I think it was Jeff Ross, but her and someone else are like feeding the guy what to say.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
And they're literally basically giving him his set and he's on stage, you know what I mean? Giving out those bits. And it's actually...
Was that a show that they were trying to sell, or that they did sell?
I don't. They may have. I was seeing it. I believe I was seeing it on Whitney Cummings' Instagram.
Oh, I'll check that out. Did people? Did the audience know that that's what the premise was?
No, they didn't. They didn't. And then sometimes, like, they would be giving the guy self-deprecating jokes.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So he'd be up there like, don't I look like a drunk? Whatever. You know? Like, they'll be making him talk shit about himself and the crowd would be eating it up. You know?
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was just crazy to see them just giving him that, the feeding them the information on the spot. You know what I mean?
That's funny, man. I got a couple of questions I want to ask you. These are, I put these questions together for the Pocket Party podcast, and a new one I just added today, and I recently had on Brian Holtzman. And so I just want to hear different people's reaction. You know, we live in LA, Southern California, and, you know, a lot of times when I travel, one of the questions I get is, what celebrities have you seen out there? What famous people? And it's interesting, like, when I first moved, I think my antenna was up more, where I was like, dang, there's Bruce Willis. Wow. I mean, I was just like, and then after a while, you it doesn't really register as much. Like, you do see them, you know, but it's like, the newness wears off, you know. Like, I mean, it's cool. Like, I've seen Britney Spears at a pumpkin patch. I've seen, you know, Justin Bieber at the Laugh Factory backstage, you know, like, and, you know, I mean, I've met a lot of people. Like, you've seen, you know, I didn't really meet Britney Spears, but I did see her at the pumpkin patch.
Right, right.
So my question to you is this, and like I said, I like to go positive. Like, you know, sometimes people go the negative. They're like, oh, that guy was a jerk, or this, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I want to say, what pleasant experiences have you had, interactions with the celebrity that come to mind? Besides just episodes of this podcast.
Right, right. Because that's what I was going to say. I mean, as comics, we see celebrities. I mean, I'm not going to say all of them. Well, you know what I mean? Some of the people we work with are quote unquote celebrities. You know what I mean? So I feel like I got over like that shell shock of being around people like a long time ago, you know what I mean? So, you know, I would say though, like one of the best experiences I've had with a quote unquote celebrity was with Wanda Sykes. Like the first time I met her, I remember it was at the Improv, and like after my set, she came up to me and she was like, oh my God, you were so funny. And it was just like, damn, you know, that from Wanda Sykes, that meant a lot, you know what I mean? And it what was going on was like, the set at the Improv I was doing was one of my last sets before Just for Laughs, like, you know, getting ready for that. And I didn't know that she was going to be involved, you know what I mean? So then after Just for Laughs, you know, it's kind of like a package deal, at least it was back then. Like, you would do Just for Laughs, and then you would do something for Comedy Central, like whatever their stand-up show was at the time, you know what I mean? So it turned out that the show at the time was Premium Blend. So after I did Just for Laughs and I did Premium Blend, Wanda was the host that year. And so in my intro, she was like, I saw this guy in L.A. and he was so funny. So I know you're going to enjoy him. Give it up for Kareem Matthews. And I was just like, wow, that was crazy how that whole thing came full circle. You know what I mean? Like, first just seeing her at the Improv and her being so cool. And then she actually turning that into my intro for Comedy Central. Like, and I used that on my, like, my demo tape. I used that intro that she did for years. You know what I mean? It was just now recently that I stopped playing the Wanda Sykes on my demo tape.
I had a great experience with Eric Estrada, Ponch from Chips. So when I was a kid, Chips, man, they were everywhere. They were on the cover of TV Guide magazine. And it was just, as a kid, me and the neighborhood kids, we'd ride our bicycles and we're like, let's be Ponch and John. And we act like we're on those LA freeways. Dun, 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 dun. And fast forward, you know, I'd met him a couple of times, just around town and, you know, festivals and stuff. I actually saw him at Toys R Us at Burbank once. And I did a show for it was like a fundraiser or something. He was there and, you know, we hit it off. In fact, he did my podcast, like my previous podcast before this one, but, around 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Around 2 years ago, we actually had lunch together, man, at Porto's in Burbank. Like, he's like, yeah, by and we'll meet at 2 o'clock or whatever the lunchtime was. And not only did we have lunch and we're hanging out for a little while, he had a Rolls Royce, and I get in the Rolls Royce and we went and he picked up some potted plants from like the local hardware store. Dude, it was great.
In his Rolls Royce, man.
Like it was an old school Rolls Royce that was refurbished and just classic looking. And it was kind of a little slice of life, like what it was like to hang out with an icon, people wanted pictures of him, like at Porto's. He was very, he flashes that $1 million smile. We went to the hardware store, same thing. The people that of a certain age that would know who he is, they were just excited, like Eric Estrada, and it was really a cool
experience. No, that's what I was going to say. It's cool that he lived up to it. You know what I mean? Because sometimes they don't. So that was good that he did live up to it. I want to ask you though, when you were a kid playing chips, were you Ponch or John?
Oh, I guess I was. Well, everybody wanted to be Ponch, but you didn't really want to be John. But of course, I know that's right. I never thought of that, huh? I just was Ponch and John. I didn't really think like, oh, that would be so cool.
Like it's two of us. We're both not Ponch.
Exactly. None of us wants to be John and John. They all want to be Ponch, man. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Did you punch and punch? Yeah, like on Happy Days, everybody wanted to be Fonz. Nobody wants to be Ralph Mouth, but unfortunately, I kind of have that Donnie Most look, like punch.
Richie Cunningham didn't turn out to be too bad.
Oh, I know, right?
If you couldn't be the Fonz.
Have you been watching any like classic TV shows or anything of nostalgia during this pandemic?
Not really, to be honest. I've been in the sports and in news pretty much, keeping up with all the crazy shit going on. One thing I have picked up though during this little downtime is stock trading.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it has been interesting. But, like retail stock trading. So it's kind of like with these guys on these Reddit groups, I don't know if you really paid attention, but they really helped like push GameStop stock up and AMC. It's like a few of these companies that were like going bankrupt. And these guys on the internet got involved and, made a lot of money, like making these stocks go up. So that kind of got me into it.
So how long have you been into the stocks now? Like a couple months or even before that? Or
no, I had played with the stocks years ago, but never really anything serious. And then back then it was a lot more difficult to trade stocks. Like they charged you per trade. And like now though, with the internet, like Robinhood app, like it's so easy to do. The trades are free. So I started last year, like when the pandemic hit, because there were like a couple companies that people were saying were going to boom because of the pandemic. But then like, towards the end of last year was when the whole Reddit group thing got going. And that's when I really started like paying attention to it daily.
Were you part of that Reddit group?
No, well, I got in because GameStop has had a couple different runs. It went up, then dipped, then went back up. And that was, hovering again. But I got in like after the first one. So I caught the second one and everyone's saying it's going to be a third one. So that's what the play is now, is waiting for that third shoot up.
What about, let me ask you this. How about sports gambling? Do you ever have fun with that?
I guess they're actually kind of similar. I was going to say that's a little more high risk, but shit, the stocks are just as high risk too, though. But the one thing the difference is like in gambling, when you lose, like you lose it all, like the bet is over, you give them the money. But like with stocks, they kind of go up and down. Like very rarely does the stock go all the way to zero. So you will lose money, but there's always that possibility of it coming back. Where like if you bet on a game, once that team lost, that's it. Like there's no, well, if they win the next game, I get paid again.
I
guess that's the slight difference, but they're both definitely forms of gambling,
Yeah. Are you, do you have any thoughts on, any tips for anybody that's thinking about getting into the stock market or maybe even like what's a safer bet for sports? Let's talk about that. Like a safer bet.
Honestly, I don't think there's any safe bets in sports. Like because it's a variable, it's a gamble. Like anything could happen on any given day. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think stocks are definitely safer, but there's still a level of possibility of loss. I mean, there's no form of gambling where there isn't, you know, a chance that you could lose. I mean, that's why it's gambling, you know. But if you put your money in the bank, you're only going to get 1% interest. So you're actually losing money because inflation will eat away at that profit, that interest, you know. So
you
just got to figure out what place for you gives the amount of risk that you are willing to accept. But there's going to be a level of risk in any of these where you try to make your money grow. You know what I mean? Nowhere's going to let you make your money grow with no possible risk.
Yeah. Is there like a safer bet where you're like, okay, I'm going to bet $100 and it's more likely I'll win. Like for me with roulette, it's like, there's not that many options if you just go on like black or red. So you kind of, I mean, it could land on green, but, and I don't gamble, but it's like when I have done it, I'm like, I always would be like, okay, it's $20. If I lose 20, big deal. If I win 20, okay, then that'll pay for my dinner or whatever. But, you know, as opposed to like ones that are a little bit more risky where you have to guess the number or the.
Right. So, I mean, I guess then with roulette, I don't know, someone's going to tell us, but it's somewhere near 50-50 odds if it's either red or black. I mean, if green comes in there, I guess it would make it less than 50-50. But even with that, there's a half a chance that you're not going to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're scared of risk, I would say just keep your money under a mattress.
Yeah.
Anywhere you put your money other than that, there is a chance that you're going to lose. You know what I mean? But for me, like I like volatility. So I'm looking for where is a chance that the money can make the most. Like putting $100 in and winning $100 back, that's cool. But like putting $100 in and getting $1,000 back, that's a lot more cool. You know what I mean?
That is really, yeah. Have you, is there like, what's the most amount of money you've ever won gambling?
At one time or in general? Like at one time, probably
$1,500. Wow.
I mean, which is, you know, it's all relative. To some people, it's a lot. To some people, it's nothing. You know what I mean? But that's the most I've won in one time. But like I've won $5,000 in a month, you know, but I've lost two, though. Like, that's the part I want to make clear. Like, people always could talk about their wins. And that's what I'm saying. Like, in between those wins are definitely a lot of losses. And that's why I feel like, again, that's why the stock market, I think, is a safer play. Because you go down, but it doesn't go down to zero. So you always have, like, something. Yeah. It's always that hope for bounce back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Kareem, I wanted to just get you on the podcast. I want to bring you back. I know you got to go, and we had some technical difficulties that took us a good chunk of our day. But I want to ask you this before we leave. Number one, the name of your podcast is called?
The Cool, a Kareem Matthews podcast, available on all podcasting platforms and on YouTube.
Nice. And you're a semi-regular on Punch Drunk Sports, man. I want to hear you back on there. Those guys have been really good to you.
Yeah, I love them.
That's great. Okay, in closing, Kareem, do you have any words of wisdom, things you've learned along the way, something you'd like to share with our listeners and viewers?
Well, I would say this is specifically for comedy, but it also works in a general aspect. I would just say, like, never give up. You know what I mean? Like, I say specifically for comedy because this comedy is like a long-term journey. You know what I mean? It's like a marathon, not a sprint. So I always say, like, you just got to keep grinding it out, you know? But that's also a life lesson. Like, because the moment you give up, it's over. Like, whatever you are striving for can no longer happen once you give up. You know what I mean? But as long as you're still in the game, there's always that possibility of something happening. Like I actually kind of do a joke about that, but I would say like Famous Amos, he wasn't always famous. You know what I mean? He didn't get famous till he was really old. Like that guy you see on the box, that's how old he was when he got famous, you know? So like if he had given up 5 years earlier or 10 years earlier, we would have never heard of Famous Amos, you know? So it's like, My thing is, you just never give up. Keep pushing forward at whatever it is you're working on, and eventually, you know, I mean, you will get there.
Absolutely. Kareem, you're the best, man. Thanks for being on the Pocket Party Podcast, and please come back.
Thanks for having me. I definitely will.
We're done with this interview.
By the way, if you want to show your support, every little bit helps, and I really mean that. PayPal, go to DarrenCarter.com. There's a support the show button at DarrenCarter.com. Support the show using PayPal. If you're more of a Venmo person, you like doing Venmo, it's very easy. At Darren Carter Comic. At Darren Carter Comic on Venmo. PayPal, go to DarrenCarter.com. Support the show. Every little bit counts. I'm telling you, it means a lot. It means the world. And it keeps this show going. It keeps me motivated, and it buys new equipment, and it just helps. So thank you so much.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to The Pocket Party.